Okay. Come to his own party.
I would like to, I would like to call the regular meeting of the Talent Discovery Bank Board of Directors to order. And I would like to open my packet and see where I am. Can, would you all stand and join me in the pledge of allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we get roll call, please, Carol?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect, all members are present.
Fantastic. This is the time for public comment. If you have a comment that you would like to make, that it's on an item that's not on the agenda, this would be the time that you would come forward. We limit it to 3 minutes. Is there anybody that has a comment on something that is not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none.
Oh, right here.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't have my glasses on. Come on up.
Yeah, hi, Terry Mahaney, Discovery Bank Boulevard. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you guys on the board for the work you're doing and for putting up with folks like me to come up here and just say the same crap every time, turn around. And I'd like to thank the Sheriff's Department and the CHP for what they're doing out here. And I wish everybody a happy holidays and a prosperous new year.
Hey, thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
It's always good to see you, man.
Yeah, right.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and move on to the consent calendar.
Move approvals, consent calendar.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any public comment on the consent calendar? Seeing none, any further comment from the board? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Area agencies report. Leah, do you want to come up and lead us off?
Good evening, board members. Leah Castleberry, Deputy Chief of Staff to Supervisor Diane Burgess. Just real quickly, tomorrow night is our holiday open house from 4 to 6 p.m. And I hope you all can join us. Thank you.
And Sheriff's Office.
Good evening, board. Lieutenant Foley with the Sheriff's Delta Station Commander. Our numbers, let's start with traffic. During the period, we had 59 traffic stops resulting in 39 warnings, 15 citations, and 5 were just coded out as contacts related to the scope of the individual. The specific officers, Discovery Bay officers, had a good number of self-initiated calls. Their total sites were 19 sites, and they also issued 47 warnings for the individuals. The calls in themselves, we had a high number of calls, and that number is, 542 calls for service in the Discovery Bay area. The highs are 45 alarm calls. Most of those, actually all of them, were false alarms. So that's more than one and a half a day. But a good amount of other variety of calls. Nothing significant indicating any trends towards any type of crime waves. We had a few arrests. Let me see that number here. What was the number? Looks like about 8 arrests in the area, ranging from embezzlement to commercial bird to possession of stolen property, and some warrants and domestic and some domestic violence and long drug arrests. Other than that, if you have any questions,
I have just a couple because they happen to affect near where I live. When it says 243, what is that?
243 is just a simple 243 is a battery.
Okay,
unlawful touching of another is actually.
Okay, and 415
threats. Basically, it's a threat call where someone feels someone talks to them in a threatening manner or threatened, but it's not rising to the level where it's an actual crime. So it's basically disturbing the peace.
Okay, great.
Other than that, from Mike Davis in the past.
Is that it? And have you moved yet?
We are. We have not broken ground. We're going to be delayed by the weather for the parking lot. The tentative move-in date has not been set. I believe there's something out in the paper of April, and I haven't heard that internally, so I'm not sure where that came from.
So, are you building a new building on land that's owned by the Brentwood Police Department? Is that what you're
No, we're moving into the existing structure that the Brentwood Police Department has. We're going to be occupying two dedicated rooms for us, and then we're going to be sharing the female locker room. But it's not a new structure. We're moving into it, but we are going to be moving some walls.
Okay, because that's what I understood, that you're moving into that same building.
Yeah, we are building the delay may come from the parking area that we're going to be building at 10,000 square foot.
For your vehicles.
Pay for dedicated our vehicles.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Lieutenant. Appreciate it.
By the way, Lieutenant, I had a ride-along opportunity last Friday night, and it was a great experience. I want to thank the officer. Thank you for making that happen.
I'll share that. She's not with us tonight, but I will share that with her once again. Any board member, if you want to come out and do a ride-along, just let us know, and we'll arrange it with one of the district officers.
Thank you very much. Anything else? Thank you. CHP.
Officer Thomas with the California Highway Patrol of the Contra Costa area. The activity we had out here last month, arrest-wise, we had 7 DUI arrests for alcohol, 1 DUI arrest for under the influence of marijuana, 1 arrest for misdemeanor hit and run, 1 arrest for felony hit and run, 1 arrest for child endangerment, and 2 arrests for driving on suspended license for DUI. In Discovery Bay specifically here, citation-wise, we had 12 for speed, 3 for other rules of the road, which would be like the turning lane that people are busting through, continue to go through, 3 registration, 1 for child seat violation, 2 cell phones, and 1 for improper turning. Out of around Bixler, we had 7 for speed, 1 for registration, 1 seatbelt violation. The surrounding area right over here, so like Highway 4 and everything outside of the Discovery Bay Boulevard here. We had 9 for speed, 2 for other rules of the road, 3 registration, and 2 improper turning. That's what we had out here. You guys have any questions for me?
No, but it sounds like you've been busy. Do you have something?
Just want to thank you for keeping an eye on that right turn lane of Discovery Bay Boulevard and Bixler and the sent text to 2 down there. Thank you. Thank you for your diligence.
Thank you very much. Liaison reports. I don't believe we have any, do we?
He's have the police fire.
I'm sorry. I skipped somebody. I checked you off before you got up there. Come on up, Chief. Sorry. I didn't see you. You weren't right enough.
I'm going to warn something right.
Good evening, Board. And here's the operations report from East Contra Costa Fire for the month of November. So in the month of November, there were 87 calls for service in Discovery Bay with an average response time of 9:33. That was our busiest month of the year so far in Discovery Bay. Which leads me into, for the district in November, we ran 699 calls for the month of November, and that was our second busiest month of the year with an average response time of 8:24. That includes responding to 10 structure fires, 1 commercial fire, 7 vehicle fires, 4 vegetation fires, and 11 exterior fires. We also responded to 29 more vehicle accidents, and 10 of those requiring rescue, 2 auto versus pedestrians, 4 motorcycle accidents, and 2 bicycle accidents. The nice thing is we got some rain, so as you can tell, our vegetation fires are finally dropping off. However, we want to just remind everyone, still be vigilant about your weeds, and if you have anybody that you know that's got some weeds, please tell them that fire season's going away, but comes right back here soon. Now, I'm going to be looking early February when fire season's starting up. So please just talk to your neighbors about having them keep their weeds down. A couple good things. We'll be hiring a fire marshal here real soon. This is the first time ever the district's doing that. There's a long, sordid story behind that that I don't want to bore everybody. So as in the next week or so, we'll be putting out that announcement, and the hiring process will start in January. And we will hope to have a fire marshal on board by March 1st. So
His specific duties will be?
Code enforcement, vegetation enforcement, inspecting schools, inspecting churches, inspecting, I mean, the whole damn gamut of what a fire marshal does.
Great.
So, and it's the first time in our fire district's history that we will have our own fire marshal. So it's a good thing. A couple other things. Our fire board meeting has been moved. I think I might have mentioned this last time, but I might not have. Our fire board meetings are now going to be the second Wednesday of the month. Those have been moved to make it easier for everybody to make it. Still the same start time at 6:30 p.m. So second Wednesday of the month.
Still in Oakland?
No, still in Brentwood at this time. With that, I would like to invite all the board here to our next meeting next week. At 5:45 p.m. we'll be having a reception that will be honoring our outgoing board members and honoring the one that came in through the election. So if you guys can make it, that'd be awesome. We'll have some treats and some everybody will just kind of mingling before the board meeting, and but the board meeting will start promptly at 6:30 p.m. where we'll swear in the new members. And then finally, December 16th, we will have Santa at the station at Station 52 in Brentwood. We've decided to only do that at one station this year for a longer period because the gentleman that, or so to say, the Santa Claus that we use, it's just easier for him logistically to do one station instead of all three. I'll announce the times later this week, but it'll be for a longer time span. I will forward that to everybody on the board. So if everybody wants to make it, you can pass it on to the residents of Discovery Bay. That'd be awesome. But the date is definite, December 16th. And on that is my operational report for the month. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Thanks much, Kevin. Yeah. Okay, no liaison reports. I'd like to move to presentations. I'll turn it over to staff.
Okay, thank you for this opportunity to recognize the service of Board Director Chris Steele. Director Steele was duly elected to this board beginning in 2010 and was re-elected for a second four-year term in 2014. Director Steele served as president of the board in 2012 and again in 2015. He has sat on several board committees that included the Community Center Committee, the Communications Committee, and the Parks and Recreation Committee. As we know, Director Steele decided not to run for election this year, so he'll now be able to spend more time with his family and his growing business. During Director Steele's 8 years of service, he has been involved in many board accomplishments that have directly improved our community. To name a few, these include adding two new water wells, purchasing the community center, a new roof to the community center, collaboration with community members to initiate a variety of recreation programs, development of the splash pad, play structure at the Ravenwoods Park, dedicating the Cornell Park ball field in memory of town resident Daryl Whedon, Roberta Fuss hot lot renovation, hiring Violi as the operator for our water and wastewater plants, approval of major improvements to wastewater plant 2, the water meter installation project, implementation of the dog park, improvements to the barbecue area and community grounds, the Monarch Butterfly Away Station, and the community garden, as well as projects that are currently underway, such as the front entrance refurbishment. They were out there today, I saw working on that. The dog park renovations, electric signboard, and improvements to the swimming pool. Director Steele is known as having a kind heart and commitment to serving our community. Chris Steele is passionate about recreation programs and is dedicated to bringing families together to enjoy our parks and the beauty of Discovery Bay. Director Steele, on behalf of Discovery Bay staff, it has been a pleasure working with you. Now, because this is your last meeting, and as a measure of appreciation of your service, we wanted to send you a packet, Ben Scott, with something that will help you remember us all. A travel bag with the Discovery Bay logo.
Don't go anywhere, Chris.
Not at all. Put it on.
Thank you.
I now turn it back over to you, President.
All right. Thank you very much. I also have some presentations here. Chris, let's come up front with me. And man, you've been busy. I didn't realize I'm going to start. Thanks for letting us know that.
Thanks for
getting me on. I have a couple presentations. First, I will start with from our Congressman, Jerry McNerney, a certificate of appreciation. I don't need to read all the words, but basically it's saying thank you for being of service, thank you for being a public servant. And also I have one from our state senator, Steve Glazer, which pretty much says the same thing. And well, there's some other ones that are going to be read, so I won't take up all your time with it. But basically, on behalf of the state legislature, thank you for being of service. Thank you for serving the constituents at Discovery Bay. And I want to present you with that also. And then I would like to also call Erica and Leah up front, because I think they have some presentations also. And we'll start with Erica.
Hello. It is an honor to be here on behalf of Assemblymember Frazier this evening. Jim is in Riverside tonight at the hearing for the Select Committee on Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, as you know. But he's grateful for the opportunity to recognize your years of service to the town of Discovery Bay. We know that you're so passionate about this community. Being here, I know we used to meet somewhere differently, and so we're so grateful to be here. The work that you've done with our schools, really promoting the programs with your UI knows, as your children have also been involved in our local schools. And I will never forget being in 115 degree weather as we opened the dog park. It's wonderful to see how Discovery Bay has grown under your leadership and governance. And so on behalf of Assemblymember Frazier, I have a certificate of recognition from the California State Assembly to thank you for your years of service and a little something extra I'll give you this one. Congratulations and thank you.
Thanks for your service.
Yeah, so Jim also didn't have something to send you packing, but it's something to wish you good cheer. And let's wait to come later with these. All if you'd right. like to open it, you're welcome to. And there's two, one for you and one for Amy.
No, that's a great point. I want to recognize also all the families of all the board members and what they put up with all our time away from the things that are going on. And Amy's been just awesome in the support of Chris with her medical challenges she's had also. So let's also recognize Chris' family.
Cheers to the state of California.
Diane Burgess, I'm going to read this resolution that reads, in recognition of his dedicated service to the town of Discovery Bay, Supervisor Diane Burgess hereby recognizes Chris Steele for his leadership, integrity, continued vision, and distinguished service to the residents of Discovery Bay, and thanks him for his demonstration of excellence to make this community a better place to live, work, and play.
Sure.
Thank you, Chris.
You're awesome.
The board, the town.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I do a quick picture?
Thank you,
sir. Thank you.
Thank you. And one more thing, Chris, and this is on behalf of your fellow board members and staff in the town of Discovery Bay, something you can put up on the shelf to remember your 8 years of service to us. I'd like to present you with this obelisk.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, bud. Thanks. Man, thanks for your service, Chris. It's been a real pleasure.
I just want to say real quick, the staff and our community members have just been great. It's a lot of work to do public service, but when you're committed and you love your neighborhood and you've got good people around you, it just gets done a little easier. And but it's a staff and it's a town that gets it done. And I was privileged enough to work with these
these folks to help, you know, make some right decisions. So look forward to next couple years with you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. And you know, you're always welcome to come in with all your knowledge and expertise that you've developed over the years and come in and tell us how we're doing. That's right, bud. All right. Okay, moving on to item G1, which is discussion of possible action regarding the current scope of the community center swimming project. Staff, please.
Since the last board meeting on November 7th, staff has met with the ad hoc swimming pool committee. From that meeting, the committee recommends, in summary, that any expansion to the pool be by RFP, that all costs associated with the pool be treated as an overall project, the pool be a six-lane, L-shaped pool built in size to USA Swim Meet certification standards, with the leg of the L, a 3.5-foot deep, step-down swim area suitable for lessons and child swim. The competition depth of the pool be USA swim minimums for local swim meets and fast start lessons. And if feasible, there should be a detached 18-foot round wading pool. Staff has followed up on the RFP process. Prior to going out to RFP, a six-lane swimming pool must first be engineered and designed. To properly engineer and design the swimming pool, there must be a site assessment of all the disciplines affecting the overall project and pool design, as well as a geotech report on the underlying soil. Staff has been informed that these reports can be completed prior to February 1st of next year, and once we receive the reports, we will have a better understanding of what the pool will potentially cost to engineer, design, and build. It should be noted that engaging in this process means that a new expanded pool would not be ready until the 2020 swim season. Terracon Consultants is an aquatic design, pool engineering, and geotechnical consulting company that has provided a scope of work for site assessment and for a geotech report. Their scope of work is attached to your staff report. Staff is recommending you approve agreements with Terracon in the amount of $32,650 plus a 15% contingency, and authorize the general manager to execute all documents in furtherance thereof. Representatives for Terracon are here to answer your questions, and I would invite Danny Stringer, Ron Bravo, and Ryan Coe to approach the mic, and they're here to answer your questions.
Hello, my name is Danny Stringer with Terracon. I'm a staff engineer.
And I'm Ryan Coe. I work on the geotechnical team.
I'm Ron Bravo, aquatic consultant for the pool.
Questions from the board?
Well, one of the questions that I have, we currently have the pool now, and it's possibly going to be renovated, or we're going to have to move it, which you're aware of. In your analysis, the soils and the conditions and everything, do you feel that part of the failure of the middle of the pool could be soil related?
Well, neither of us have actually seen the pool in person or have seen the failure, had an opportunity to study the failure. The purpose of this report is basically to find that out and get a better understanding of what you want, what it's going to take to build the pool properly, and but as far as the actual cause of any failure, we haven't had an opportunity to look at that yet.
And if we were to approve the contract with you, would that be one of the end results? We would get an analysis of why there is a failure in the pool?
That isn't anything that we've been asked to provide as a failure analysis. It's something we certainly could do. We're basically looking at the conditions to verify that we can design a pool that will be structurally sound. If in the process of doing that study we find reasons that would cause the failure, we certainly would share that in the report.
All right. I don't want to expand on what is in the proposal right now, so I'm not looking for a failure analysis, but if I understand properly, this current analysis, if we move forward, would identify any ground movement, those types of things that could cause a failure if a new pool was put in.
Right, we would design to avoid that from happening.
And in this design, is this, with this contract, with, at the end of that contract, if we approved it, we would have a design for a pool that we could go out for proposals?
Not from this proposal. This proposal is strictly to assess the facility and to do geotech analysis of the soils underneath it. If, based on the result of that study, the site is sound and we can design a pool, we will be proposing on the design of a new facility or a new pool, dependent on the budget and the scope of work you want.
Thank you.
Just a quick question. In terms of the proposal that you've set forth and a completion date of early February, is that room reasonable? Because we're kind of under a little bit of a time crunch here. Time is of the essence, at least in my perspective. So is that a real doable hard date for you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, I think you've answered it already, but I, at the end of your report, when you turn it in, will give us everything we need to know about building a new pool in the location we're picking, all of the goods and all of the bads that go with it, correct?
Correct. It will not include the design of the pool. So what's the point of that?
I understand that. In the literature that I had looked at, you had talked about additional restrooms and things like that that might have to be enlarged. Was that part of this initial?
That is part of the study.
Okay.
ADA, sure. I think there's a pretty extensive scope within the proposal. But yeah, that's part of the study, is identifying all those other things, providing a cost estimate of probable cost for those additional features.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. That was part of what I wanted to be clear on, is that part of your scope of work, make sure that we get advice with regards to what additional things we need to add to make it compliant. Correct? Does that include parking?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, just one final clarification. So in your analysis of all the additional things other than the pool that would have to be added if we did expand that pool, parking, restrooms, all those types of things, would that include a guesstimate, if you will, of a six-lane pool?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. No further questions for... Thank you guys for
being here.
Thank you. I'd like to go to the public now with some... I've got a couple of cards here. Christy England, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Come on up, Christy.
I just wanted to address the issue about the pool. I listened to, I think, one of the audio tapes, because I've just been in meetings, and addressing the 6-lane and 8-lane pool. I have used this pool since 2002. I live at 524 Sheffield Court. And so I've appreciated it. I know it's needed for my family and everything. But I'm wondering what the scope is, why we're going to a 6-lane and for competitive to bring in people to our community. You know, my son has been involved with Siebel's and Brentwood. He has been a coach. He said the pool is a money pit. So basically, it's not going to bring in money to your community center. It'll bring it into businesses here. So he's researched it. He tried to do it over in Tracy. That is astronomical cost to keep the pool. It's basically, to be competitive, you have to go year-round. We have been involved with him for 4 years. You have to do year-round swimming. So I know it's a nice thing, but the scope of what this community center is supposed to be is to help our community with the teenagers that were getting in trouble when it was out on the internet. So I know this is off the track, but I mean, I don't really see that we need to put that much money that you guys had. I read in the paper, it was like $600,000, $800,000. There's a lot more things that money could be used to, but you could still accomplish it by improving the pool. So I just want to give that aspect that, you know, that basically we don't have a high school here, so there's no future for the swim team. The high school goes over to Brentwood. That is Seawolves and other things that they go into that. To have your pool, you have to have an Olympic size. heritage is Olympic size pool. So I don't know if the USA is a meaning Olympic size pool. I don't know if you could clarify that or not, but that's all we can do.
Thank you for your comments and your experience. Appreciate that very much, Christy. And Teddy Laughlin. Terry Laughlin.
Probably me. Probably.
Sorry, Terry. I should have known that. But.
First of all, I just want to thank you guys for just, and the staff, for just taking a breath and stopping back, stepping back, and really analyzing this whole pool situation without all of the melodrama that goes with it. That being said, I think it's truly important that we come up with a swimming pool that's going to really serve the needs of the community. Not just one small interest group, but the entire community, the other 15,000 people. And things like having it comply to the USA swimming standards. I've read those over, and in order to make the pool comply, it would be very, very expensive. And it would only benefit the swim team. But you could still build a pool that didn't comply, but would be the right length and the right width, so they could still practice and dive and things of this nature, and save us probably quite a lot of money. These fellows from TerraCon could probably tell you that. And And I also think that it would be, maybe I'd like you to take a look at using the money for other things rather than just the swimming pool. I'd like to see maybe a kitchen here so we could do things, I don't know. Improve our tennis courts with lights and put the basketball courts back in also with lights. Improve the landscaping around here, it's horrible. Put lights in the parking lot. That place is scary at night. Not just me, but I've heard it from all sorts of people. It's not ADA compliant, it should be. There's a lot that could be done with that $1.3 million rather than just build a pool. Thank you,
Terry. Okay, those are the only cards I have, but I would open it up to the public. And anybody would like to come up and talk on this item, please. Rick?
Hello, Rick Pierce, 6005 Seneca Circle, in the Lakes, here in Discovery Bay. I spoke the last meeting, it seems eons ago. A little bit more on my background, some of the stuff that was commented here. I've been involved in competitive swimming at the United States level for over 35 years. I know quite a bit about what it needs to be put on our program. First of all, regarding the River Otters, I know it was mentioned that it would not be ready for this upcoming season. We've already made some plans for if that were to be the case. Even if it weren't going to be ready on time, we still have to make those plans. So we went ahead and have that ball rolling already if we need to relocate for this particular season to have it ready for the following season. As regards to the size of the pool, I know it was mentioned that it needs to be a 50-meter pool. It does not need to be a 50-meter pool. Actually, Heritage's pool is 50 meters, but it's never been used for a 50-meter swimming because it doesn't meet certain guidelines and specifications. And it has 25-yard pool, really. The only difference on this pool that we needed, it was actually this pool's 4 feet shy of 25 yards. So that's one thing, that's an easy fix. And the depth of the diving. Once you hit the depth of the diving, and you get to 25 yards, it will meet the level that you need to be able to host. Not necessarily a championship level meet, but that's not what we're looking to do here. We're looking to host some dual meets amongst other teams in our area. So really, we support it. There's a lot of things that we can do with this pool. It can help just be, a lot of it's targeted mostly on the swim team because the swim team's the one that's taking the time to initiate this. You can run a scuba diving program. There's multiple learn to swim programs, whether it's youth, adults. You can teach lifeguarding classes. There's a lot of there's water aerobics. The American Heart Association actually has water aerobics that are geared specifically to people that need those classes. So there's a lot of different ways that a pool can impact the community, all the way from 6 months old up to 99 years old. So A basketball court usually doesn't do that. Tennis courts usually don't do that. But a pool can hit a much more wider range. If families can come out here, you're going to have a lot more people using a pool than you would some of these others. And my understanding is with the money, all of the Hoffman money is not being put towards this pool. There's still going to be a good chunk of it left to make improvements if we want to put in a kitchen or basketball courts or what have you. This is not, but the biggest part of this community center is the pool. So,
thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I have a question.
For me?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a mention about year-round swimming, just based on river otters and the other, because of your background. If we were to be able to enlarge the pool, make it a six-lane pool, would you see the opportunity to year-round swimming in this pool?
Yes, definitely. Year-round would be definitely something that we have a lot of. We have a lot of our kids that are looking for year-round programs. Right now, the only thing is the Seawolves in Brentwood. Water's hard to come by. The pool would be, high demand. It's going to be wanted to be used year-round. You're going to build it, and it's going to be able to be used around year-round for water polo, for swimming, for a lot of other different activities that you can run year-round. So I would be extremely disappointed if it was built and then we stick to just a Memorial Day to Labor Day type of thing, because it's you're going to be able to do so much more with it. But right now, it's not a desirable facility to rent out past that. And one team could pay the heating cost to basically keep it going year round, and then everything else on top of it is great.
All right. And then the second question I have was a mention about having a, I'll call it a standard six lane pool versus, say, was it the swim? I don't know the acronym for the National Swimming.
USA Swimming.
Right.
USA Swimming.
The difference between building a pool for that caliber and then just building a basic swim six lane pool. Is there a difference?
It's six lane pool. If you want to be able to run 50 meter and run national level type meets, you're going to look at something much larger, like Santa Clara International Swim Center. You're going to run to things like that. They're not going to be coming out. You're not going to have that level of meet going. Be able to hit United States swimming levels, you can run a swim team and run a small BA plus meet in there. You would just basically need 25 yards, and you need the depth for diving. Besides that, the flags have to be at certain distances. There's not a strict
From a construction standpoint, to meet the basics that you just outlined, there's not a big difference. Call it a standard six-lane pool versus having the flags at the right position, et cetera.
Correct. There's really not a difference. I mean, compared to what we have, it has to be 4 feet longer, because we're, again, 4 feet shy if you take this pool. And then what, I think the shallow end out here, I want to say, is probably around 4 feet. I think you'd have to hit 4.5. And the deep end's already way deep enough. So really, all you have to do is make the shallow end 6 to 8 inches deeper and lengthen the pool 4 feet. And then add a couple extra lanes because it's narrow, and then you've already hit the standards in order to run and meet.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
From a staff standpoint, is the
we're still in public comment. Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Yes, come on forward, speak.
My name is Allison Watts. I live on 108 Tennyson Court. I just want to talk. I was here last week or last meeting as well. My daughter's been swimming since she was 4. That was when I got into this whole swim world. And I hope this pool isn't just about the swim team, because I do feel I've lived here most of my life. And when she says we can, you know, we don't have a high school to feed in, well, that's sad. We should have a high school. We hope one day that our kids will go to high school out here. I have a 2-year-old and a 6 or 8-year-old, and we live out here because we want our kids to be in activities out here. We don't want to drive to Brentwood to put them in swimming and dance. And, you know, so when the community center bought this building, we were really hoping that all of the programs that would be here would be for our kids, and that we could bring them here and grow as a community with, you know, growing together. And I do feel that the pool obviously will hugely benefit the swim team, but it will also bring in other programs. And, you know, for the teenagers in the summer, they can all learn to lifeguard. It could create other jobs and keep our kids and our teenagers busy, because there isn't a lot for them to be doing except getting in trouble. And having one that's getting close to being a teenager, I would much rather have her here teaching a swim program or, you know, helping in a camp or, you know, I mean, the swim could open up camps for summertime and other things. So I do understand that it's a lot of money. And as a community member, again, I would love for there to be new basketball courts and tennis courts with lights and other things as well. And I hope that this pool doesn't, you know, take up the whole amount of money. Obviously, I don't think it should. Like Rick was saying, we don't need an Olympic pool for these kids. We are a small community, but to be able to have a legal sized swimming pool to where we can be in a league and host a meet and have our kids have a home pool to swim at. I mean, for anyone who's grown up swimming, when you can have your friends and family and come and watch you swim, I mean, right now, my family drives to Turlock to see them swim in a swim meet for 30 seconds in the water. And so do all the other parents, you know, family members for the team. And I know for anybody who doesn't swim, that's not their problem. And it is, you know, again, a lot of money. But for everyone here, as you guys saw the last meeting, we do have a lot of support. And I think if we had a bigger pool, we could grow the program. And without that, it's probably going to just dissolve. So, as Rick said, we do understand that this year is going to be a struggle and we are going to have to find water elsewhere, but we will if we know that we have a pool coming. We will hold the team together, and I know that we have enough dedicated swim families that will stick around with, you know, that knowledge that the pool will be here the following year for them and their kids will get a home pool to have that experience. So
thank you very much for your comments. Appreciate it. Any other public comment? Mr. Guto.
Getting bored. Probably my last chance as a public.
You just want to stand on that side for one more time?
Exactly.
3 minutes.
Hey, and Chris Steele, congratulations. Thank you so much for your service. 8 years is a lot, and the town definitely appreciates it. Very exciting about this opportunity. The money that the Hoffman Company has given to us is a great opportunity, and it's going to be interesting to see how we decide how that money is allocated. And so one of it, obviously, is the report the Terracon folks. I wonder if it makes sense at the same time. I suspect with their report, there's going to be some significant changes at the community center. Maybe we need a master analysis, a master report at the same time, looking at the rest of the facilities. The courts, the tennis courts, the landscaping, the parking lot. I don't know if their reports can include all that, but given the fact that the pool is such a major portion of the community center, maybe we want to do a master plan of the whole community center at the same time. So I don't know if that information is already in existence or you need to order that report as well, but something to think about.
Thank you, Brian. Any other public comment? All right, it's time for board discussion.
Well, I'll jump in kind of quick here. This is a difficult decision as far as the funding goes and whether we should venture down this path or just fix the pool as is. Well, in my discussion, what I've seen is that we hire consultants all the time to help us make decisions, help this board make decisions. An example is all the wastewater product that we put out. We've got new nitrogen requirements for our permits. We're going to hire a consultant to help us decide how we should build that. We have wells that we have to hire consultants to help us figure out where's the best place to do that. I think before we move forward on repairing the existing pool, we should at least have a good understanding of what the soil looks like, what issues might happen. If we just fix the pool as is, I would certainly hate to go ahead and fix the pool as is, repair the crack, and 5, 6, 7 years later, we have the same issues again because we didn't understand that the soil around it is causing the problem. We would have not done our due diligence. So I think the fee for the analysis to me seems a little high, but I'm not in the engineering business. But I don't think that we can make a good decision without taking this step.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'll echo a little bit of what Director P said. this community center is a great asset. It's a great amenity to have, and I think it's a necessary amenity to have for a community. It's a little old, needs some refurbishment. We have a swimming pool out there. We've had some discussions over the last several months about what to do. We had a lot of information sort of on the back of a cocktail napkin with some opinions. But I like to make data-driven decisions. I like to really know what we're getting into. I think it would be great to have that pool, but I think the first thing we need to do is find out what the land out there is, how we could establish a facility out there that would meet, you know, significant community needs, but to really understand what we're getting into. I don't want to jump into a project and then find out that it's larger economically than we should have afforded, or if it's smaller than it's really, and it's not an amenity that the community really wants. So I would support moving forward with the facility conditions report, with the geotechnical work, and then be able to make really an informed, educated decision about how to proceed. Because this is, you know, it's going to be significant dollars. It's a significant commitment by the community. And like I said, I want to make a data-driven decision, really understanding where we're moving forward with. So anyway, I'd like to support the proposal.
Ditto. I think I'm in pretty much agreement. I made a statement last meeting that we're at a crossroads right here, and I think it's a wonderful place to be. When I came on the board 2 years ago, the community center, it's a struggle, you know, trying to keep it going in the way that we've got it, but it's a wonderful asset for the community. I would have never dreamt that we would have the opportunity to even look at the possibility of a pool. So we're here, and we'll take a hard look at the financials, make sure that it makes sense. We'll meet the requirements that are necessary, whether it be for the swim team or whether it be for the community or hopefully for both. And thank you for letting us know that you've got the 2019 season covered, because that takes the pressure off of us making a decision haphazardly or too quickly. So I think the analysis is an important piece so that we can see and understand what the cost is overall.
Chris, you have anything to add?
I think the due diligence is smart, and I hope that we'll have a better understanding of what we're building on. Thank you.
Okay, great. So I all agree with everything that was said. It obviously doesn't make sense for us to move ahead. Not only what we're moving ahead to, or what's in front of us, what we're capable of doing. I want to make sure I'm clear on a couple of things that's going to come from this report. So at the end of this report, will we have an estimate of what the pool is going to cost us, or will that just give us the information we need to then go out and get estimates for the price of the pool?
Well, my understanding is we're not going to know the true price of the pool until we go out to an RFP, which is based on the design of the pool and the engineering of the pool, and then we'll get a firm cost, a firm cost based on those RFPs. But Terracon can give us a ballpark figure once they have a site analysis and a geotech report, work with staff on what a workable design of the pool would look like to accomplish all the things we want to accomplish with the kids swim, as well as the competitive meet nature of the pool, and come up with some rough ballpark figures, unless Terracon wants to correct me on that.
I kind of missed that. I want to make sure that was clear, that's part of the product that we're getting back, because if it comes back, you know, and it's, I know this is outrageous, let's just say it's $4 million. Well, obviously, if we can't do it, we don't have $4 million. But I do agree in the investment into the engineering firm, which I think we've all kind of talked about here today, to find that out. Because we can't even estimate what the cost is going to be until we find out those details. So I also am fair. But the other thing I need to, and you know, I've got the pool in the same place as my retirement plan, man. I'm buying lottery tickets because I really want a pool, okay? But I do think we need to point out the facts, and that is it's possible, you know, that we'll delay the season, come back with a report, and end up with the same pool we have right now. That is an option. This is a necessary step to do the analysis, but it's not guaranteeing that we're moving forward with a bigger pool because we're limited in funds. And I just want to make sure that unless somebody doesn't agree with me on that, but I want to make sure that I'm stating it correctly and I'm approaching it correctly. Is that accurate?
That would be accurate.
Okay.
And I agree 100%.
Okay, Chris.
I was just, if we're going to do this analysis, remember we have a site plans, and we had a three-phase for the community center configuration. I'm hoping that those plans will be a part of the site analysis, because we've spent a lot of money in how those architectural...
Back when Rick was...
Our architectural...
Yeah. And, you know, it's a good point that Brian brought up. I think from the very beginning, Chris and I were here when we purchased this property. The first thing we talked about is the inadequacy of the pool. You know, it was jimmied together with a bunch of RT2 G2 heaters, that like nine of them, residential heaters, was heating the pool. So we've always known from step one that the pool was going to be a centerpiece and needed some improvement. We're here now. Let's get the analysis. Let's move forward with it. Any further discussion from the board? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion that we move ahead with staff's recommendation.
Second.
Okay, motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Great.
So you, board, you're clear on that, and we will move forward to item two. Terracon, thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for coming out and being here to support your proposal. And we look forward to seeing that mid-January. Oh, that's right, it's February, sorry. Discussion and possible action regarding the diffuser and some issues we've been having with having replaced that. Do we have a... Who's doing that?
We were expecting Gregory Harris, our wastewater engineer, and he is a no-show.
Is this something we need to move for? It kind of is. But Bill and I have been in all the meetings. Bill, you want to give the folks...
Give me an update.
Thank you.
We have put divers in the water to go underneath and explore the diffuser. The diffuser is the end result of the water that we filter. We clean the wastewater and we have to dispose of it. And that disposal goes into the river, the delta. And there are certain requirements by our permit that we have to meet. One of those is you have to disperse the water coming out, not only so it doesn't disrupt the biological things that are in the water, fish, etc. It has to come out between certain temperature. This was designed probably 20 years ago. What we found out is that it's a pipe that goes from about 10 inches down to 8 inches down to 6 inches. Well, there's about 20 feet of 6-inch pipe that's totally blocked off. And also some of the diffusers are valves that are letting water come out. And some of them have been knocked off due to fishing boats, we assume, et cetera. We verified all of this. We need to go back, because we have our NIMS permit coming up, and find out what the state is going to require us to do to repair it. We've got four options. Our consultants have option number three figured we'll put in a new system over the top of the old system. It's something that needs to be done. I don't think we should delay another 2 weeks just to hear from him at consulting to tell us what we need to do. The staff report is pretty clear. So I think that we need to move forward with this particular project at this particular time, just to get the ball rolling.
Virgil, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, other than the fact that... Other than the fact that when you do put it in the new way, it will allow us to clean it. So if debris does get into it, we always knew the diffusers that stick out of the floor of the river. Sometimes boats put anchors in, the anchors hit it, knock it off, and that type of thing. And when they knock it off, then the silt comes into it. But these, the new way we plan to do it, will minimize that and allow us to put air in there or water into it to blow it out so it doesn't be blocked. So I back it with staff's report. It's important.
Great. Yeah, I don't, I think Billy did a good job describing the situation. Is there any public comment on this? I'd even, okay. If there is none, then we'll just move back to board discussion. You're actually on the board, so you can talk.
I can talk.
Yeah, you can get one 3 minutes.
Please. Well, what I found exciting, there's a lot of reading on the paperwork that we were given on each of the four options, and I read through them, and I stayed awake through the whole thing. And it's very technical, and it's interesting if you're into that stuff. But I picked option 3 before I went to the recommendation, so I was excited when they said 3 was the recommendation. I think 3 affords us a little longer life. Pardon? 4 is the recommendation. 3 was.
The 4th is completed from the port option 4 to repair the diffuser in place with a larger header pipe was selected as the best alternative forward by TownStop.
Then I did go to sleep at a certain part.
Staff's recommendation is option 4. Am I correct, staff?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, my discussion would be to pick option 3, but I'll listen to others right now.
I just have one question.
Yes, go ahead.
What was the turning point or the what drove option 4 versus the other options, yeah, other than cost?
There are a multitude of agencies that we have to get blessings for. We have to go to a different state agency to put that into the river, and we have to go through a few Army Corps, state, in order to make the repairs. And then we also, one of the biggest things, or two biggest items for us on our wastewater plant is temperature. The water leaving our wastewater plant cannot be more than 5 degrees lower or higher than the river. So that's an issue for us at times. And then the other one, flows. We get dilution credits because if you know Clifton Court Bay, the water constantly moves south. Rarely does it go with the tide up and down like that. So the dilution really helps us out a lot. So we analyzed every one of those 4 options, and we felt that the least expensive one and the best long range for the district was 4.
So if I can restate it, we don't have to deal with as many state agencies and we can get this project done, and it's a much more operational.
We don't have to deal with a lot of them. We have to deal with some.
Yes, okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other board discussion? Is there a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item 3, employee personnel manual.
Staff has conducted a thorough review and updated the employee personnel manual, which has been attached for your review. More significant changes and additions to the manual have been listed in the staff report. The electronic version of the manual will be on the town website and now has a quick link feature in the table of contents that links you directly to the applicable content section, so it's more user friendly. Staff is available to take your questions, suggestions, and comments.
Any public comment? Hearing none, any board discussion?
We reviewed this at the Internal Operations Committee, because we're all kind of ministerial, bringing the manual up to date with current California and federal law, and I would move recommendation to approve the manual.
I almost fell asleep reading this one, too.
I was going to say that.
There's a lot of things that go back and forth to protect the employees, but also protect the district and the residents from issues that might arise by employment. So I think it's a well-written report. I highly recommend approving it.
I just want to say this is very thorough. We've come a long way with our leadership, and 8 years ago we didn't have something this nice. So I think it's well needed, and let's keep it on things.
With that, did you make a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Manager's report. Do we have any reports from any of our managers?
For the month of November, water. We extracted out of the ground 62 million gallons this month for our residents, which was, compared to 2013, is a 25% reduction. So we're doing very well. We're up average about 31% reduction over so far for 2018.
That may not be good for you.
That may not be good?
No. Talk to Dina.
We cut the revenue now?
Yes, we are.
Yes, that's going to be the next issue. Any other managers want to jump in with anything?
Yeah, just a quick note, the masonry repairs and painting project has started on the front end.
I saw that.
And they hope to be done in the next 2 weeks, with the majority of it.
Great.
I have a question on that item. I just happened to be driving by and they were out doing their thing, and I noticed they're putting some patch and stucco and things. And one of the major items was on the corners of corner beams, the metal was rusting through.
Yeah, they're replacing the corner beams.
That's what I was asking. It doesn't appear to me that they took it. I don't know if you need to or not. I'm not there. I assumed we would take it from the top to the bottom, just cut it all out and put a brand new piece in. It doesn't appear they were doing that.
It depends on the damage that's there. If the damage is top to bottom and needs to be replaced all the way, they're doing that. If not, a lot of it is just sections that are damaged.
Okay.
To water penetration, so, cracks or something?
Yeah, well, the pots that were on the pots that were on the columns were bleeding down onto the stucco and rusting it out. They also recommend us moving the sprinkler heads away from the walls, because that's where a lot of damage is coming from, too.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, the reason I mentioned it, I just would hate to see 5, 6, 7 years from now we end up the same corner beam problem.
Yeah.
So, with that said, okay.
Thanks, Brian. Mac, anything? Dina? You sure? General Manager's report.
Last meeting, there was mention by Director Mayor about helping P6 efforts with a potential letter regarding trying to get some movement through Caltrans on approval for the P6, the license readers, if you recall. And I talked with Leah about this, and they said there's no need for a letter on our part, that things seem to be moving in the right direction. So I wanted to get back to the board on that. Number two,
you said Leah.
Well, Leah is the Supervisor Burgess's representative.
But this was an issue that was, Caltrans was the issue. It was Jim Frazier.
Correct. She's been working with, she has Jim Frazier's office in line with working with Caltrans.
Thank you.
Kind of like working with paperwork. And speaking of Assemblyman Frazier's office, there is a meeting with Assembly Member Frazier, myself, CHP, and Caltrans. It's not open to the general public, but it is a meeting on January 3rd at 1 p.m. to discuss the issue of Highway 4 out here and the cars that are driving through the right turn only lanes. So this is a preliminary get-together to talk about the issues, and hopefully this will move on to some things that'll have some resolution.
Is that it for you?
That concludes my report.
Was there any director's reports? I kind of skipped over that.
Just one. General Manager and I attended the East County Water Management Association meeting, and a lot of discussion about a bunch of items, but the only one I think that's real pertinent to the town of Discovery Bay is that they're working with the state and almost have the split of the basin. So there's a San Joaquin basin and there's an East County or Costa basin. So we'll be able to kind of control our own destiny when the droughts happen.
And there is a draft approval of that just came out. So excellent.
That's good news.
Good news.
Very good news.
The Water Wastewater Committee, amongst other things we discussed, we've given an update on the OE-1M manual. They've got 5 or 6 chapters done now, and we're working on the next 6 or 7. So it's on track to be completed on time, but they gave us an update, and we appreciate that.
Anything else? Any future agenda items you want to bring up at this time? Okay. At this point, I would turn the meeting over to council.
Town Discovery Bay shall now adjourn to closed session for the item identified on tonight's agenda as N1.